welcome to Australia, Sean Cootey.
Thank you.
And also the man Showboy, the musical director, I think, now of Egypt 80.
He's still the assistant deputy vice.
He's
because Babani is still there.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
He's not the deputy, he's the assistant deputy vice. Right.
In training. Well, we should talk about that, the apprenticeship that's needed to master the art of Afrobeat, because I've realized, Sean, that you've had an 18-year apprenticeship when it comes to it, because you first performed at the age of 8, I think. Is
yes,
that right?
But, you know, being Fela Son and everything, I was able to shoot right up to the top, you know, in 18 years, you know. Showboy has been the assistant deputy vice for how long now? 25 years. You know, but it's just because of Baba Ni's relentlessness.
Yes.
You know, he's still hanging tough in there. So.
Well, Egypt 80 is a group of, many of them, veterans from the days of Fela Anakulapa Kuti, Showboy. I wonder if you can just say how the band has managed to hold it together for this amount of time, because it's some time since Fela passed in 1997. It's the power of Sean, I'm being told.
when Fela was around, we were like one family, and we all believed in what we were doing, and we had confidence in the man we were working with. And so when he left, we believed that, yeah, we've got a profession, and people out there are expecting to hear from us, and we can't just disband, which we just have to continue with what we are doing because we believe in what we are doing.
And did you continue doing concerts at the Shrine?
Of course. Yeah, we continued at the Shrine, irrespective of the crowd, you know, because immediately after Fela died, we started playing at the Shrine. We were playing for 3-4 people. And we, you know, Fela has given us one... He has taught us one thing, that if you are to play, if you believe in what you are doing, keep on doing it. If there is nobody in the hall, when you start playing, if people are passing by and they are hearing good music, they will surely come in. And that is what we kept on doing.
You knew you had something very powerful.
Of course.
Yeah. Sean, how were you at that time? I mean, I know you were 15 when
14
when your father passed. How was it for you to actually front a band? I'm sure it was very hard to even sing after his death. It took some time, I guess.
No, we started playing like 2 months after his death again. But it was just I being a kid, you know, and only 14. I was not really versed in the history of my family and all the politics, you know, in the family, because my dad, you know, Fela used to keep me away from all the family politics, and he never discussed anything with me that he didn't feel was necessary for me to... All I knew, though, was my father. I knew my father, I knew my mother. Growing up, I barely knew Femi, though, because Femi was not living with us anymore, and during that time, he and Fela, they had a little... So he didn't used to come to the house, nothing. But later, he settled with Fela in, like, 1995, By then I was 12. That's when I got to meet him actually for the first time and get to know him. So for me, after Fela's death, I kept playing with the band because, you know, Fela used to always tell me that, you know, the band is the most important thing to me. You know, even before you kids, he used to be very straightforward with that. You know, yeah. So, you know, after Fela's death, I believe that the family's priority to keep it going, but that was not the case. You know, nobody wanted anything to do with the band. They all thought, you know. So then I said to them in the meeting that they called, this meeting was actually to disband the band.
Of course.
Yeah. So at the meeting, I was expecting that the meeting was about keeping the band, but I was surprised when I discovered. So I just said at the end of it, because I wasn't planning it, you know. I wasn't really thinking about that, you know. I even thought with the death of Fela, you know, there goes my involvement with the band. I'm not going to face my school now and I don't have to sing anymore. But then I said, you know, what if I keep playing with the band? I give a long speech, you know, because in Africa, when your elders are talking, it's hard to talk as a young person. So I gave a long speech, blah, 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 blah. But the long and short of it was, I want to keep playing with the band. So is it possible if, you know, the band is kept? Well, they say, well, I can keep the band, but I have to keep the band by myself because they cannot assist in any way, you know, and we can keep what we make to, you know, manage the band, you know.
Sure.
So here I am today keeping everything.
So you became effectively the leader straight after Fela's death.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But, you know, I started as a lead singer. I wasn't the leader per se like that, the way I am now, you know, but I was the lead singer then, yes.
Tell an audience who doesn't know much about Afrobeat what it takes to make an Afrobeat orchestra. And I think you really represent the foundation of it, Showboy, as the this is the heart of this music, which has gone global. What constitutes Afrobeat? What makes it different from other music?
Afrobeat, to the best of my knowledge, from what I learned from Fela, is, you know, is our culture, is our tradition. And it's part of Africa's heritage. It's what we grew to know because it's like our language. Because most of what we are playing could be translated in many dialects in Africa. And it's a mixed infusion of one culture and the other.
High Life was, you know, obviously an important part of the creation of Afrobeat. Were most of the musicians who played in Africa 70 and Egypt 80, did they understand all the elements of High Life as well? Had they played in High Life bands?
Well, some of them do, because Afrobeat was, that pattern of music was created by Fela. He evolved from, he played High Life too, but he later decided to continue with his own brand of music, which today is popularly known as world music.
Mm. Sean, I mean, you inherited an incredible legacy of what Fela had created, along with Africa 70 and Egypt 80 and Tony Allen. Had you been a bit of a musical rebel to your dad? All kids rebel against their parents' legacy.
I was 14 when my father died, you know, so I don't think I had the time to go through that
rebellious phase.
It was just beginning to start, you know. We were just beginning to have our first argument, you know, about some things. Interestingly, you know, before he died, for me, really, I don't feel like a music rebel, really, and I'll say it this way, because I enjoy Afrobeat music the way it is originally, even. Right from the beginning and onset, that I've always heard, when I began to hear my own sound in my head, it's always been Afrobeat music, you know. And, you know, I'm a young person, I'm not old, and if I can enjoy Afrobeat music, then a lot of young people can enjoy Afrobeat music as well, I'm sure. So that whole concept of Afrobeat being old and has to be modernized by putting funk and pop and soul, you know, I feel Afrobeat is even more advanced for our generation still. Afrobeat is going to be enjoyed more by my kids. And then they'll be adding, you know, Afrobeat to pop and Afrobeat to funk, you know, to make funk sound good and modern. So for me, it was not a matter of being musically rebel. I wanted to do Afrobeat the way I loved it. And it was the original form. And knowing what I know today, you know, so it's not just about being Fela's son, you know, this decision is something I really enjoy personally. Because knowing what I know today, with all the information I know and having to make the same decision, I would want to be an Afrobeat artist again, you know, playing this kind of music. It's incredible.
You bring some of your own flavor to it, though, don't you? Because I think in one of the tracks that's been recorded, there's an element of rapping in it too, which you're starting to learn.
Well, Fela used to rap in his own Afrobeat as well. Authority stealing, authority, you know, there's a lot of Afrobeat. That's why I say, you know, all black music is connected, you know. And I try to, you know, Afrobeat being a genre, you know, I try to follow the because if you're going to play classical music, you're going to have to listen to Bach and Mozart. If you're going to play rock music, you have all these rock legends to listen to, from Elvis Presley to the Rolling Stones to everybody. to listen to the Beatles. But Afrobeat, there was just Fela for a long time, but he was able to make as much albums as all these guys also put together. You know, he had a lot of albums, you know, and they inspire me so well musically. So, yeah.
Well, Showboy, how do you feel about the fact that this Afrobeat hasn't died and that it's gone global and there are bands all over the world now playing this music?
You know, it's a wish come true because we are very, very happy that we had him to keep the flag flying, and we are giving him all the support that he deserves from us because we want to keep the legacy going on. It's our pride and we are proud of him. We are very happy doing what we like doing most, man.
When you were listening to the music created, you were creating it with Fela in the 70s and 80s, did you think it would be a music that lasted for a long time?
Well, Fela's music has got its identity long way back, you know, because he was the only artist that was playing that pattern of music. But other people want to do it. They couldn't come out and say, yeah, we play Afrobeat. If I may remind you, you will see that after Fela's death, we just started hearing about thousands of Afrobeat players. But the root is still the root. So we're part of the root. We got to keep it going.
And I think a lot of the people who've tried to take on Afrobeat are lucky now that they can refer back to the real sound, the original sound, as it's still evolving with Shaun.
Sure.
Mm. Well, Shaun, tell us something too about filling Fela's political legacy, because we know Fela as much as a politician, an activist, as a outspoken critic of corruption and corrupt governments everywhere. How was it for you to fill those shoes? They were big shoes.
Well, for me, what I'm doing is not primarily to fill my dad's shoes. My father's struggle, as you've said, you know, there are thousands of bands all over Africa. My father's struggle today has been carried by thousands of people, not only his children, you know. You know, so what I believe in really is the fact that the situation of Africa has to change. If America voted last year based on change, you know, Africa really needs, knowing the world needs to change more than Africa as well. Yeah. Because if America can change, can be trying to change, you know, we need a lot of change in Africa. So, as an artist, you know, even if I wasn't Fela, I always try to say this, that it's not the job of the Kuti families, you know, musicians to fight for African freedom through their music. It is the job of every African artist. If you look at the European Renaissance, it was led by artists and intellects. They changed the way Europe is run today, the way the West thinks, their politics, social life, everything was changed by artists, you know. So why can't African artists do the same? Why do we take the cheap handouts this government give us and try to convince the people with our music to think of some false hope when we know that these people are giving us no hope at all? So for me, that's what's most important. You know, and I feel, politically speaking, every artist should inherit Fela's political legacy, not just me.
How is your role in Nigeria now? Because Fela was hounded so much by the authorities. He was jailed, he was beaten. How's your position in the country?
Well, you know, we have this so-called democracy now, so I guess they can't just come out and attack anybody blatantly, but they still come and arrest you, though, for anything, for stupid reasons.
Of course.
That one, there's no escaping that. Yeah.
They can bank on you at any
But
time.
I think as an activist, you cannot keep moaning about being arrested or locked up because, you know, you don't expect the government to send you on holidays if you're an activist, you know.
True, true. One of the things that continues to this day, as well as Fela's legacy in Afrobeat, is the reign of President Obasanjo. And I think on your record, you are quite happy to name him as an enemy, I would say, really, as someone that you have serious criticism of.
Well, he's not the only one, but he's the figurehead, you know, he's the face of African politics, not just Nigerian. Obasanjo is the face of everything that's bad about Africa. You know, a colonialist soldier, you know, that was put in power by the West and abused his power and ruined the future for billions and billions of people, which is what has gone on all through Africa. That man is an embodiment of everything that is wrong with the continent. Yeah, so it's it was a pleasure of mine to attack him. I had fun.
Well, we should say, too, that it's not just a critical line that you take, but you also deal with real issues in Africa, and malaria has been one of the huge ones. You've written a song specifically which was used in an anti-malaria campaign, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, for me, it was malaria is a bigger problem than HIV/AIDS. Might not have as much money in it, but it's definitely a bigger problem because, in Africa, everybody, all we hear is AIDS, . Luckily, malaria is getting some voice now since we did that concert 4 years ago. And, a disease that $3 can cure, still killing Africans in 2009 or in the 21st century, is a shame on not just the government, but the African people as well, to be able to accept this kind of low level of life. And everybody just seems to accept this fact that, we are supposed to suffer, we are supposed to be oppressed, and the growth of our children is supposed to be stunted and their future totally stolen. Everybody seems to be content with this negative form of living, of existence. And it's a mentality that has been screwing forcibly all over Africa for decades now. So centuries, if we count colonialism as well, what am I saying? Centuries. So we have to look for a way to make sure that Africa is developing in the right way, mentally first, before socially or financially. That's why, everybody is looking for aid to deal with AIDS, while little things like malaria are still killing us. Because we are looking at we're not trying to pay attention to the detail of the mentality. Everybody is just thinking about, what is right in their face, what can be news, what can be big, what can make money, But I think I believed really that malaria was a bigger problem and a more shameful problem than HIV/AIDS. I think HIV will kill a Westerner the way it will kill an African, but malaria will not kill somebody in Australia, I don't think.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Maybe in this moment when Afrobeat is starting to affect people all over the world, you have a number one fan, I think, in the President of the United States, because it's on the record now that Barack Obama is an Afrobeat fan and listens to Afrobeat, because he's been of some assistance to the band, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, being an African, I think it's impossible for him not to have heard about my father. He's not an African American, he's really an African born in America. spent some time in Africa as well. So yeah, in 2007, he helped us get a visa to the United States. But, a lot of people in Nigeria will be very offended if I say Obama is my number one fan, we all like him and everything, but I think my number one fan position, is very important to some people in Nigeria.
Yes. Who do you think holds that at the moment?
I want publicly Obama.
Sure. Yeah. Well, this music, which is so kind of tied up with politics, how do you see it affecting politics around the world? It's been taken up as a kind of social protest music, hasn't it?
Yes, the thing about people picking up Afrobeat so much this because a lot of things are going wrong in the world, and a lot of artists, young artists, want to express themselves, and discovering Afrobeat, a music created for this expression. I feel so, because Afrobeat really was created for the emancipation of the black race. Afrobeat is not just music. Afrobeat is a movement.
Sure.
It's apart from being a musical movement, it's the musical part of it that everybody knows. But it's a political movement, it's a social movement, cultural movement, and ideological movement. That's why it is impossible for anybody to do an Afrobeat album if you don't believe in the music. Because you easily lose hope and you forget all these movements and you try to popularize the music. The music is not for popularization or commercial viability. The commercial viability of Africa comes from the developing mentality of the world. The more the world grows, the more popular Afrobeat will become. So I feel Afrobeat does not need to be popularized or commercialized. It will grow steadily with the mentality of the people, because it is something that wants total change. So, yeah.
Hmm. Showboy, I want you, if you could, to tell an audience that doesn't know Afrobeat, explain what it's like to be inside Egypt 80 when a song starts up. Think of one song, maybe, what it feels like to be up there playing with this amazing machine.
Well, like Kolo Mentality is a song written by Fela, and it talks about what has happened to the people. You know, when you are doing something that concerns everybody, when you listen to most of Fela's music, you will find something very, very important about people, about life, about your environment. Afrobeat is like educating. That's why sometimes I say, Fela's, being with Fela, we that worked with Fela, we are in an institute. We were like studying for what we are doing today. Because if we hadn't learned what we have learned from him, we wouldn't be there. And if we don't have belief in what he was doing, I wouldn't be here today. That's why I'm ready to represent it anywhere till the end of days, man.
So Fela's presence is always there.
Yes, he's always there. Wherever we are, he's always there with us.
Tell us something about the horn section in an Afrobeat tune, because the horns are like nothing else in the world.
The horn lines makes part of the music. You know, the horn lines have their own messages. You know, we that play the horn lines that are given to us by Fela sometime, we feel, you know, each horn line has its description, has what it translates to. Like in our dialect, in other dialect, people can translate it to their own dialect. But the horn lines are very, very important. They are like a motivating, you know, it is the motivating aspect of the music.
We're sort of touching there in some ways on spirituality too. And Fela, his name that he took was Anakalapo. And I believe, Sean, you've taken that middle name too. Can you talk about the significance and meaning of Anakalapo?
Well, Anakalapo was actually the name of my great, great, great grandfather. Because my family was baptized and Christianized in one of the first families in Western Nigeria to become Christians. That was when they picked up the name of the reverend that baptized my great-great-grandfather and named him Ransom. And the family picked up the Ransom thing. But my father, you know, in the 70s, decided, you know, he couldn't be called Ransom, you know. So he went back and picked up that name, you know, so that's why we be Anakalapo. Anakalapo means he with death in his pouch. Akpo, you know, is the poucher, the hunter puts in his, yeah, in my language, you know.
So that's a very powerful name because it means you carry the power of death with you.
Well, it means the power to stop death.
Aye.
That you have death with you, you know. Like Anakalapo, you have death just chilling in your pouch.
How important are the Orishas in the creation of this music?
For my father, very important. For me, not necessary because I am not spiritual at all. I think I'm the next level of the Kuti family evolution religiously because my ancestors were all Christians and my father was the chief priest of the African shrine and now I'm an agnostic atheist that believes in absolutely nothing. You know, it's just like my father was directly on the opposite side of his father. I'm on the opposite side of everybody, you know, religiously.
So you're your own man in that sense?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. That's one thing me and my father definitely have never agreed upon. The fact that there's a God, we've never agreed on that.
How about you, Showboy? Is traditional African sort of Yoruba religion still important, do you think, in some ways, in making the music?
Yeah. It is.
They all think so. You know, I'm the only rebel in this thing.
We all, yes. We all think so, as he said.
Yeah. How would you say it's a part of the music?
Well, on the stage. Okay, let me give you an example. There are times I fall sick in my house and we have a rehearsal. No, we have a show to perform on a Friday. Until Friday afternoon, I was still a sick man at home. My woman was trying to take care of me. But the moment it gets closer to an hour to be on stage, I start asking myself, like, what am I doing on the bed? But the moment I get there and go to that stage, I'm cured.
So in that case, it's the power of the music.
Yeah, yeah.
The power of the music, yeah.
Sure.
As someone who loves Afrobeat, I have to say there's maybe no more powerful music in the world than Afrobeat. And Cheon, it's great to have you in this country with Egypt 80 and Showboy with the band.
I think anywhere I go for the first time, it's always incredible because, you know, I'm a new thing. People have never seen anything like me before. And it's only people, you know, even if people have seen my dad, I think I'm still a bit different as well. So I think it's a whole new experience. I like new experiences. I want to see if I could bungee jump by Sunday. I don't want to break my leg before the show. So after the show, we're going to look for somewhere. We're in Australia. I should be able to bungee jump somewhere here.
Are you going to force any other members of the band to bungee jump?
No, they would never. They are too religious.